This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not take a road leading to the Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So, be wise as serpents, and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues and their holy places, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Sibling will betray sibling to death, and a father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all, because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have finished going through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I was talking to some folks recently when a dispute broke out. One person was trying to convince another to go to a meeting, a really important meeting about some of the justice issues going on right now. And the first person said, "Don't you care about what's happening? Don't you care about the suffering that people are experiencing?" Second person responded, "Yes, of course I do, but I do not have the time." Now, this dispute went on for a little while until the first person calmed down and remembered that the second person spends a lot of time working on a feeding ministry, serving about 500 meals a week. Don't you care? Yes, but I do not have the time. I've been thinking about this interaction a lot this week because I have had a very busy week. This week, I co-chaired Together New Orleans Delegates Assembly, which is essentially the annual meeting. And this involved not just showing up and chairing the meeting, but having numerous pre-meetings. Pre-meetings so that everyone involved was on the same page, so our various reports felt connected, so reports were both succinct and comprehensive. So we had all of the materials that we needed, so we remembered to follow Robert's Rules of Order, and so we could deliver all of this information with passion. A lot of work went into this meeting, and it is work that I feel very called to. My calling as a pastor, as a preacher of Scripture, of the good news, this calling convicts me that I better practice what I preach. For me, Together New Orleans is an important way to practice the communal justice that I preach, because of the ministry of Jesus. So this is work that I choose to spend my time on. This week, I also went to a press conference downtown organized by the Communities of Hope Interfaith Coalition. And at this press conference, faith leaders gathered to pray for, present, and sign the moral statement defending human dignity and civil rights. A statement addressing concerns related to voting rights, redistricting, immigration, homelessness, and the treatment of vulnerable communities in Louisiana. This week, I also did some reading into the Endangered Species Committee, also known as the God Squad, after a church member sent me an article sharing their concerns for the environment and the misuse of God's name. I learned that this so-called God Squad, a pretty offensive name for those of us who are people of faith, has seriously abused their powers to strip protections for endangered species in the Gulf Coast. Last night, I went to Pride Fest with some of our church members to share the steadfast love of God and the LGBTQIA2+ community. Wow, were there people who needed to feel that love? Tina wore her Free Mom Hugs t-shirt, and it really mattered. There were some people who ran up to her because they don't get hugs from their mom anymore. And last week, I participated in the blessing of the fleet, because no matter what's going on in our country, I believe strongly that the people who serve in our military should be honored and should be prayed for. It's been a busy few weeks. And to be honest, what I just described is just the tip of the iceberg of the work. And what I listed doesn't even include all of my regular pastoral responsibilities, like preparing sermons for you all and working on capital campaigns and Bible studies and all sorts of good things. And it does not include the conference meeting that I had to miss and the Christians Against Christian Nationalism meeting I could not make it to because I simply did not have the time. I missed those meetings not because I do not care, but because I did not have the time. There is a lot of need in our world. And in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus make a choice as to which needs he sends his apostles out to meet. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he sends his apostles only to the people of Israel. Now, some people have interpreted this to limit Jesus' ministry to a select few, as if Jesus does not care about the Gentiles and the Samaritans, and anyone else considered other or outsiders. Now, this is a pretty terrible reading of Scripture, because when we read the rest of Matthew, we see Jesus care for Gentiles and Samaritans too. And Matthew ends with the Great Commission, a calling to care for all nations. It's not that Jesus does not care, that he has to choose how his apostles spend their time. At the beginning of this gospel, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Jesus knows that there is great need in the world. The harvest is plentiful. He also knows that the laborers are few. At this point in his ministry, he has 12 apostles, 12 people to send out to do all of this work. So he chooses where to send them and how they should spend their time. It's not that Jesus doesn't care, but the time is limited. But even with limited time, note that Jesus packs the work in. Our lesson says Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. He sends his apostles out to proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, and cast out demons. The time might be limited, but boy, does Jesus pack the work in. The apostles have some very busy years with Jesus, and they still aren't able to do everything. Even the 12 apostles could not be all things to all people. They had limited time. My siblings, we have limited time. Limited time in our lives, and limited time on this earth. So we have to choose how we spend this time. This is really hard, because the need is great. There is so much need in our world right now that it can feel overwhelming. How can we possibly make a difference? Well, the good news is that Jesus does not expect us to solve all of the world's problems. He did not expect his apostles to be all things to all people. And he doesn't expect us to be either. But he does expect us to be something to someone. We don't need to solve all the world's problems, but by choosing to do something and packing the work in, we can make a world of difference to someone who is in need. So, what is the work to which Jesus calls you. Environmentalism, LGBTQIA2+ rights, some of our local justice issues, healing, feeding ministries, immigration rights and civil rights, teaching. What is the work that Jesus calls you to? And how will you commit to this work in the limited time that you have on this earth? When Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few," he follows it up with this: "Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." My siblings, we are those laborers called by the Lord of the harvest, called by God into a world of need. So do not feel that you need to be all things to all people, but be something, someone. Amen.